Pentecost! Oh my gosh, I am so excited about Pentecost. Some say that Pentecost is the birthday of the church or the birthday of world missions because it really did start both of those things. Started the church in action. It started also world missions, being witnesses to the ends of the earth. It started also during that time. And so let's go through our scripture this morning. It's in Acts 2, 1 through 4. If you wouldn't mind standing, even you can stand in your homes there as well. We're going to recite Acts 2, 1 through 4, our scripture this morning. Acts 2, 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Amen. You may be seated. And thank you so much. I love this passage of Scripture. It's absolutely incredible. And I want to kind of dissect a little bit as we're talking about Pentecost. It starts verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come. When the day of Pentecost had fully come. Not partially came. Not sort of came. When it had fully come. And I have a question to start this whole thing off with. Has your day of Pentecost not come? Now do you fill with the Holy Spirit? Now do you know Him? Now do you speak in tongues? Now, has it fully come? Has it fully come? Not just in word, but has it fully come in action in your life? Think about that as we continue on here. It says, when the day of Pentecost is the Greek word Pentecoste, and it means 50. It means 50. It's the number 50. I thought it's kind of ironic that we can actually have 50 in our buildings, in our locations. We can have 100 outside, but we can have 50 in our buildings. And so here we are in Pentecost with 50 folks in our building. And so that is extremely exciting. And so we're there's a double metaphor here, I think, in all of this. But it meant 50 days after Passover. That's what Pentecost was. 50 days after the feast of Passover. And Pentecost, a Jewish spring harvest celebrated on the 50th day after Passover. And Passover was the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Pentecost, also called the Feast of Weeks or the Feast of Harvest. The date of Pentecost originally came the day after seven full weeks following the first harvest of the grain. A lot of their feasts in the Jewish time were related to the harvest that was coming in. The Jewish feast of Pentecost, or Shavuot, as the Hebrew would say it, was primarily a thanksgiving for the first fruits of the wheat harvest, but it was later associated with a remembrance of the law given by Moses on Mount Sinai. Because after the Passover, when they left Egypt on Passover, 50 days later, they show up at Mount Sinai. At Mount Sinai, they see the fire on the mountain. They see the mountain quaking. They see the power of God in action. They see the demonstrative movement of God on Pentecost. And that's what we're celebrating right now. That's what they were celebrating. I put in your notes, Pentecost for the Christian is the day the Holy Spirit was lavished out to the followers of Jesus to give them power to live sold out for Him. Lavished. Lavished means it's without thought. It's just so much. It just pours out upon you. It's all over you. It's just there's excess. It's just lavished out upon us. And I think that that's a powerful thing of what the Holy Spirit wants us to understand is He's been lavished out upon us. He's been lavished out upon us. We have the fullness of His presence upon us. Are we walking in that? And that's my challenge this morning. Has your day of Pentecost fully come? Has it fully come? Don't really answer that right now. I want you to think about it. Has it changed your actions? Has it changed your life? Is it not just a name? Is it not just a thing that happens once in a while? Has it literally changed your entire life when the Holy Spirit came upon you? Because that's what He was intended to do. The word fully come, I love this word. I love the definition of this word fully come. It's one word. Sum play ra'o. It means implenish completely. I couldn't even find up the word. It's not even in the dictionary, implenish. But the word plenish is, it means to fill up. It means to swamp so much that it swamps you, to be complete. It comes from the root word pleroo, and it means to make replete, to cram everything in there, to furnish, to imbue. And I love this word imbue. Imbue means to permeate or influence as if by dying. And that by dying, D-Y-E, it's talking about it gets into every fiber of your being. It controls every aspect of your life. It gets into your tongue. It gets into your mind. It gets into your brain. It gets into your sight. It gets into your feet. It gets into your heart. It gets into your mind. It gets into every aspect of your being. Has it fully come? And that's what the word fully come means. Every aspect, every corner, every nook, every cranny. It means diffuse, influence, satisfy, execute, verify. And there's dictionary, it says to fill completely, to complete entirely, to complete entirely. I think about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was given to us to complete us entirely. We are void and missing without God, without His presence, without the Creator inside of us. We were destined, we were created, we were designed to tabernacle, to be His tabernacle, to be His resting place. And without Him, we are not full. Without Him, we are not complete. Without Him, we're missing something. We're missing something if we don't have Him completely and fully in charge of our life. A powerful word. The Pentecostal experience needs to fully come in your life. We need the fullness of the Holy Spirit. You need to not hold back and let it fully come. Let it fully come. I think it was a time in my life when I was a young Christian and I got filled with the Spirit. I was kind of holding back because I didn't want to embarrass myself in front of my friends. So I was kind of holding back on the things of the Spirit because I didn't want to get too crazy for God. Because I still had my friends out there, right? But I realized, I want to get crazy for God because my friends need the craziness of what God can do to change your life. Fully embrace it. I put this in your notes. The Holy Spirit fully comes as we fully let go of ourselves and fully grab hold of God. You got to fully, you can't have a few things in your pocket of your own. You got to fully let go of everything else and fully grab on to God. Fully grab on to God. The Holy Spirit is not just to be something that we add to our life. It's supposed to change the whole operating system of our life. We're supposed to be radically different because of the radical presence of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit came in a radical way. I think God is trying to get us to understand it isn't supposed to be something that sort of moves us. It's to be something that revolutionizes us. This Holy Spirit, has it fully come? Has it fully come for you? It says they were all with one accord in one place. Now the one place was the upper room. They were in the upper room and they were together up there. But it says they were with one accord. With one accord is also one word in the Greek. A great word. And it means unanimously. 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 The Greek dictionary says this about it. With one mind by common consent. Unanimously. They were like one mind. They were all together in this. There wasn't division. There wasn't mine and yours and this and that and what about. It was just simply God. We need God. We're all after God. It was one mind, one purpose, one thought. We need God. We need God. Unanimously. They were of the same mind. No division. They laid down me and picked up we. They laid down the me for the we, for the us. But it was not unity out of uniformity. It was unity out of division. It was unity, excuse me, not out of division. It was unity out of diversity. It was unity out of diversity. They weren't all exactly the same. They weren't the same color. They weren't the same culture. They weren't the same nationality. They weren't the same anything. The idea was that out of that diversity came a unity. And I don't believe we're going to experience in the United States the unity that God wants us to have without the power of the Holy Spirit. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to break down barriers, to break down walls, to create, if you will, unity out of diversity, because diversity is an awesome thing. It's also interesting that it comes from two Greek words, this word, one accord. The first word, homo, it means the same, and then thumos, which means passion, as if breathing hard. They had the same passion. They had the same passion. They had this passionate desire for Jesus. Here they are in the upper room praying, not knowing what's supposed to happen. But we're just up here because Jesus told us. And then they're praying, 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 and believing, believing, believing. And they're asking, asking, asking. And they had this passion for God. And then God shows up in a powerful way, as we know at the end here. It says, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven. The first thing I want to note is that this is from heaven. This experience of the Holy Spirit is coming from heaven. It's ushered out of heavenly. It's divine. It's inspired. It's godly. It's amazing. It's the heavenlies opening up to us and showering out the very presence and breath of God. I think about at the beginning of time when he created Adam and he breathed the breath of life into him. Adam didn't become a living being, a living soul, until God breathed his breath into Adam. I think the same way the church becomes alive as the breath of God through the Holy Spirit, through that rushing mighty wind, was breathed into us in a powerful way. It came suddenly. I like that. I like the word. It came suddenly. A lot of times when I think about suddenly, I think, you know, quickly, quickly. Well, this didn't come quickly. I mean, it had been 1,000 years on God's mind, right? He'd been waiting. He'd been thinking. He'd been orchestrating. He'd been designing this thing to come. And it was going to come. And it was just about to come. And we say, suddenly, suddenly. The word suddenly means, we kind of think of it as quickness, sudden. But it means unawares, unexpectedly. It came unexpectedly. It came suddenly. It came unexpectedly. It came. Now we knew they were waiting for something, but they didn't know what it was. And so when it finally came, it was like, whoa, this is unexpected. I didn't know this is what was supposed to happen. There's a lot of things that happen to us in God that come unexpectedly. That all of a sudden we don't get it until all of a sudden it shows up. And then God starts moving and does some miraculous things. Unexpectedly. God rarely moves quickly, but often moves suddenly. God rarely moves quickly in your life when you're praying for something. It seems like it just seems like he takes his time sometimes. But he does move suddenly. He moves unexpectedly. He moves miraculously. He moves awesomely. He moves powerfully. He moves amazingly. He moves. Because we're connected to God, he moves on your behalf. You're his kid. You're his child. You're his concern. You're his thought day in and day out. And when you've got something going on, he's given us the Holy Spirit to move in our life, to cause there to be a sense of the power and presence of God to help us wherever we are, wherever we are. Suddenly. Now, I'm sure it was a surprise for the disciples. They had no idea of what it was. They knew they were supposed to wait, like I said, but they had no idea what was coming. They didn't know what it was supposed to look like. He didn't say, hey, Terry, and all of a sudden I'm gonna do some things, and I'm gonna send the Holy Spirit, and there's gonna be these divided tongues on your head, and there's gonna be like a sound of a no. They were just waiting. You know, have you noticed sometimes that when you're with God and you're asking for something, you want him to move powerfully and you're praying in the Holy Spirit, we kind of design it all out and we kind of want to figure it all out. But God doesn't give us the whole design. He doesn't give us the whole plan. He gives us a few thoughts, a few ideas, a few spots. And then all of a sudden, the miraculous happens and wow, look what God did. Suddenly. In Luke 24:49, as I said, they had no idea, but he told them this. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Jesus is getting them ready. Doesn't tell them exactly, but he tells them this in Luke 24:49. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. And I want to pause for a moment because this word promise is really powerful. The word promise means an announcement, a pledge. I give you my pledge. And that pledge, especially a divine assurance of good. I want to give you my pledge. God gives us his pledge. I am going to do something very, very good in your life if you will trust me. That's God's pledge. Even when bad things happen, somehow God's able to turn it around and make good out of the bad. You see, God's pledge to us is that he will do something very, 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 very good with your life. And we can trust him with that. We can trust him with that. God promised to send them something good, but he didn't tell them what it was. They had no idea. Behold, I send the promise, something good is about to happen of my Father upon you. But, now an instruction. But, in order to get it, in order to get this promise, in order to get this gift, in order to get what I want to give you, tarry in the city of Jerusalem. Tarry, wait, wait for it. They had no idea what they were waiting for. No idea what they were waiting for. I mean, can you imagine they're up there waiting and you're having a great time. The word of knowledge happens and somebody has a great word of knowledge and they pray for somebody and think, well, was that it? Was that what he wanted to give us? Some other guy does something. Was that it? They had no idea what it was. I think they got it as soon as the place kind of went crazy. Tarry in the city of Jerusalem. Wait for it. Wait for it. Wait for it. Has God ever told you to wait for something? Oh, I'm going to move. I'm going to help you in your finances. I'm going to help you in that relationship. I'm going to help you in what's going on. But I just wait for it. Wait for it. I think the most difficult thing as Christians, or at least the most difficult thing for me, is to wait for something. I remember as a kid, when Christmas came, I was always, you know, Mom, Dad, can we get up now? It's only 2 o'clock. Mom, Dad, can we get up now? It's only 3 o'clock. Mom, Dad, can we get up now? It's only 4 o'clock. Mom, Dad, can we get up now? Five. Just do it, man, because we might as well just get this thing over with. Man, I just wanted it to happen. I was excited about it. I wanted it to come. I just had a hard time waiting. I have a hard time today, I think, waiting. It's the most difficult thing for me to do. But can you imagine? We said Pentecost is Passover plus 50. Could you imagine if they waited in their waiting time? I know before they went to the upper room, they were waiting too. And so they get to the upper room. But I mean, can you imagine if they waited 49 days? And then at 49, they just go, hey, you know, I don't know if anything's going to happen. I think we've done everything we could. I think Uncle Bob's word of knowledge was probably it. Let's all go home. They only waited 49. I wonder how many times we shoot the gun on something when God tells us to wait and we're at day 49 of a 50-day wait. 50, the number of Jubilee, new beginnings, everything, fresh start. The whole idea of Jubilee is absolutely incredible. Wait, wait, wait. Tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Power from heaven. Power from heaven. And they knew. And we now know that the power from heaven was the Holy Spirit. The Father was sending the very same Holy Spirit that empowered Jesus throughout his life. Walk with me through this for a moment because I want to share something. I think it's really important. Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit, Matthew 1:18. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. We said nothing more about his life and nothing more about the power in his life because he just seems like a normal life until we get to, he's pretty smart as a 12-year-old. But then all of a sudden we come to his baptism and something happens. In John 1:32 it says, then John testified, I saw the Holy Spirit descending like a dove from heaven and resting upon Jesus. We see the Holy Spirit rest. The New King James says, remained. This Holy Spirit remained. The word remain is meno, to stay, to abide. You see, the resting of the Spirit upon Jesus was to reveal to others the remainder of Jesus' life and ministry would be empowered by the anointing of the Holy Spirit so that everything he said and did was by the Spirit's power. All God, all man, but choosing to live as a man empowered by the Holy Spirit. You see, how did Jesus grow in wisdom? How did he grow in stature? How did he grow in favor? How did Jesus love his enemies, forgive those who did evil against him, suffer injustice, and still have healthy emotions and relationships? How did Jesus avoid all temptations, always tell the truth, and defeat Satan? How did he do this? By the power of the Holy Spirit that was resting on him. Oh no, he was just God. No. By the power of the Holy Spirit that was resting upon him. The Holy Spirit came upon him for a purpose. He needed the Holy Spirit. It came upon him for a purpose. Just like it comes upon us for a purpose, we need the Holy Spirit. On Pentecost, the Father was giving us the same Holy Spirit that empowered Jesus to empower us. Let me say it one more time because I think we just passed over it. On Pentecost, the Father was giving us the same, this promise, this assurance of good was giving us the same Holy Spirit that empowered Jesus to empower us. The very same exact Holy Spirit, the same thing that allowed him to stand strong, to resist the temptations of the devil, to do all that he did, was the power of the Holy Spirit. And this same Holy Spirit is what he was giving to his disciples on Pentecost. And to us as well. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, right? We sing the song, but we don't. Jesus said no to temptation. Why? The Holy Spirit helped him. Jesus did the Father's will. Why? Because the Holy Spirit helped him. Even when he said, not my will, but thine be done. Father, if it's possible, take this from me. He was struggling, but the Holy Spirit helped him. The Holy Spirit helped him in every area of his life, as the Holy Spirit is intended to help you in every area of your life. Powerful, I think. Jesus was empowered by the Spirit, not just for the miraculous, but also for the mundane. We think, oh, the Holy Spirit, we just think miraculous. No, no, no. The Holy Spirit was there for the everyday part of life. The Holy Spirit is there for your everyday part of life, as well as the miraculous. Lord, we need a miracle. Lord, we need you to move powerfully. Lord, we need you to do something awesome. He was there for that, but he's also there for, oh, I'm going to brush my teeth. And there he is. Oh, I got to go to work. Now you go to work in your pajamas, but I'm trying to get us to understand what he gave us on Pentecost. This assurance of good. This assurance, this promise of something so, so good was the same Holy Spirit that allowed Jesus to do everything that he did. Wow. Just like Jesus, the Father gave us the Holy Spirit for every situation of our lives and for every aspect of our lives and for every minute of our lives. That's what Pentecost brought us. What the Father sent us on Pentecost was to be the most valuable asset you will ever possess. More valuable than any gold you have. More valuable than any riches you have. More valuable than anything that you have is the Holy Spirit, the promise of good that God gave you. Wow. It's his promise. The only way you can really be good or do good is by the help of the Holy Spirit. The disciples knew that they were to tarry in the city of Jerusalem for something, but didn't know exactly what. But the interesting thing was, they did. They just obeyed. He said to tarry. He said to wait. I'm tired of waiting. No, no, come on back, guys. We gotta keep waiting. We've got to encourage one another. We've got to wait. Something's going to happen. Something's going to happen. Something's going to happen. Something's going to happen. I just know it. It's going to happen. He said it. He gave us his promise. He gave us his assurance of good. Something's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Stay here. Don't move. Wait, wait, wait for it. Wait for it. Surely it'll come. Wait, wait, wait. Tarry. It's going to come. Hey, wait for it. It's going to come. Boom! God shows up. I'll tell you what, he can move more powerfully than you can in life. When you take it all under your control and you're going to figure it all out, I'll tell you what, the Holy Spirit does a much better job than we will ever, ever do. The workings of the Holy Spirit move suddenly and unexpectedly and usually in response to our obedience. We're just keeping on, keeping on. We're just being obedient as a father, as a husband, as a worker. We're just being obedient to do what God has called us to do. And then all of a sudden, God does the unexpected. God does the unexpected. God's getting ready to do the unexpected. The unexpected in your life. God's always working, even though we don't always see His outworking. God is always working, even though we don't see His outworking. I love that song, Waymaker. Even though I don't see it, You're working. Even though I don't feel it, You're working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working. That's the Holy Spirit in your life. He never stops working. He's working. He's moving. He's doing something. Goes on to say, as of a rushing mighty wind. The Spirit came as a rushing mighty wind. The wind speaks to the moving of the Holy Spirit. You can't see it. You can only see the effects of it. You can see the branches move in the breeze. We can see them out there right now. There's a 20 mile an hour wind out there, and you can see the branches dancing around. I can't see anything pushing the branches. I can't see anything touching the branches. It's just the wind. It's just a pressure differential. And all of a sudden, we start seeing things happen. And earlier, or I guess late last night or early last night, we saw him move in a powerful way. He moved a little more violently. He a little more powerfully. A little different pressure differential. We can't see the Holy Spirit, but we can see the effects of the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit moves. The Holy Spirit is not static, He's dynamic. The Holy Spirit isn't stationary, He moves. We say, move, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Move and do something. Holy Spirit, He's constantly moving. He's constantly in action. He's constantly working. He's constantly doing something. He's constantly getting you ready. He's constantly creating that miracle for you. He says, as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house. It filled the whole house where they were sitting. The whole house. The Holy Spirit wants to fill, cram the whole house, not just certain rooms of your life. That's important. The Holy Spirit wants to fill the whole house, not just certain rooms of your house that you're willing to let Him into. He wants every room. Even the dark closet where the things that shouldn't happen happen. He wants every room because you'll be surprised as to what He will do if He has control of the whole house, of every room. The Holy Spirit wants to fill your whole life, physical, spiritual, natural, work life, family life, play life, the whole house. Have we given the Holy Spirit access to the garage, but on Sunday we allow Him into the living room? Or does He have everything? Does the Holy Spirit have all of your life? All of it. Verse 3, then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and it sat upon each one of them. God has His divine supernatural experience for each one of us, not just for a few. You see, there was a breeze, then there was a blaze. And Pentecost sent the church on fire. It set the church on fire. These guys started doing things they never thought they could do. They started with boldness they never thought they had. They started moving miraculously in so many ways, all because they had a passion for God, and God had ignited them on Pentecost. He came to fire up the church. And it says, and they were all filled. That word all there in the Greek means some. No, it doesn't. It means all, everyone. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance, as the Spirit instructed them, as the Spirit guided them. Oh God, Holy Spirit, lead us. Holy Spirit, guide us. Holy Spirit, empower us. Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, the same Holy Spirit that helped Jesus make every decision of His life, the same Holy Spirit. Come. Come, Holy Spirit. Empower us today. The filling of God's Holy Spirit is God's divine assurance of good for you. conclude with this. The secret of joy and contentment is not the absence of trials, tribulations, and troubles, but rather the presence of God, the Holy Spirit. Without God's presence, a life that looks like heaven can feel like hell. With God's presence, a life that looks like hell can feel like heaven. Has your day of Pentecost fully come? Come, Holy Spirit. Father, I pray. I know in my own life, you want more of me. And I pray, Lord, for all of us, that would yield our lives to the fullness of your Holy Spirit. That our day of Pentecost would fully come. We'd be fully transformed, fully changed, fully set on fire, fully dynamic for your kingdom. Lord, we love you. We bless you. And we thank you for how good you are to us. So help us now on this Pentecost Sunday when we celebrate the greatness of your good assurance, the Holy Spirit upon us. Help us to walk with that Holy Spirit every day, every area, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to say one last thing again, that if you need prayer for anything, please come. We're going to be praying at the drive-under, so just come on by and pick up prayer. God bless you guys. Love you.